Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, we are back, we are back to piss people off, we are back to tell like it is, we are back to tell you that we are not invited to the royal wedding that's happening this Friday, and Sean Black and I, we are upset about that. But welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Willemose, the King of King himself, the Hot Rod. And on the phone lines, I have the one, the only.
It is Sean Black in the building once again. How's everybody doing?
Okay. Oh, my God. Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's been a long weekend for me. Oh, well.
If you think it's been a long weekend for you, imagine what it's like having this type of weekend if you were an African-American in this country. And we'll touch on that in a little bit. But you see where we're coming from as the show goes on.
Yes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know the number to call is 347-989-8402. 347-989-8402. Sean Black, for the 100th, and I don't know how many numbers of shows we did so far, are you still ready to piss some people off?
Yes, yes, yes. Let's piss people off, and let's do it the way we usually do it.
Yes. Well, excuse me, I'm choking on this story.
Yeah.
Remember back in the, when we first started the show, we came up with a segment called "You Can't Make This Stuff Up."
Mm-hmm.
Well, I decided to bring the segment back for the first few minutes about a story that you really cannot make this up, ladies and gentlemen. Just when you thought you have heard it all, something else come up. There has been an Arizona woman who has been stalking a man she went on one date with him last year by breaking into his home. And this lady, who is 31 years old, name is Jacqueline Claire Adis. She was arrested last week. Why? Yes, she was stalking. But after one date, ladies and gentlemen, so a three-month time, she has sent this poor guy not one, not 100, not 1,000, not 10,000 texts. Ladies and gentlemen, she sent this guy an estimated 65,000 texts after one date. One date. She claims that she met her soulmate and she basically became possessed and stalked the poor guy. And like I said, she was arrested Tuesday. Now, Sean Black, you have been texting me for over a million times already in the last 20 years or so. But we call this obsession a fatal attraction, as Cato call it, or a sign of mental illness. Since today, everybody likes to call something that's happened a form of mental illness.
Most people that have an obsession, there's usually something in the brain that's, for whatever reason, is attracted to that particular deal. Now, is it fatal attraction? No, because thank God it didn't get to that part. But as we were talking about this off air, I haven't gone more than 1,000 texts in a month. And this person did 65,000 texts over several months. If you're lucky enough to get maybe 20,000 texts, if you know that many people or text that many people in a year, to do that after one date off of an online dating website, one date, that is absolutely insane. And it doesn't even end at the text messaging. She broke into his house, and she took a bath in his bathtub. And in one of the texts that was found there, he was sitting in at one point in the front seat of her own car with a butcher knife and sent him a text saying, "I am not a murderer. Don't ever try to leave me. I'll kill you. I don't want to be a murderer." When I hear something like that, there's a difference between mental illness and obsession, and they kind of go hand in hand. I don't know how far, but somebody had some sort of problems to go this far into it on one date.
I just find in this scenario, I find this very scary, especially as a man, because, you know, you normally hear the scenario of a man stalking a woman, blah, 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 especially with everything that's going on in the world today with Me Too moment, or I forgot the other party, Time's Up. They hear this story about a woman stalking a man, and you don't hear about this too much, but it does happen all the time. And we always talk about it in the past shows. What happens is the reverse. Now, if a woman stalking me, number one, I'd be honored if she stalked me because I am the hot rod. But besides that, let me be serious. I'd be scared to death if a woman attacks me more than 10 times in one night, especially after one date, especially if something did not, quote unquote, did not happen or you did not speak to the person. How in the world can you tell that you found your soulmate after a couple of hours spending with that person?
It's understandable if you find somebody that you have something in common with after one date. That's not too far-fetched to think of. You know, you meet one time over a drink, or, you know, you go to the movies and then you have, you know, conversation during or after the movie. You walk around and talk, and you find you genuinely have something in common. There's nothing out of the ordinary with that, and you talk 3-4 hours. Oh, we had a ball. We had so much to talk about. We converse over this and talk about that. And then things go on from there. That's normal. But after one date, that makes no... It's impossible to tell. And I've heard people say this in conversation with other people. I found my soulmate after the first time I met him. It's love at first sight. That's all a bunch of stuff. It's a bunch of garbage.
You say that you don't believe in love at first sight?
I say that you have to know somebody before you can love somebody. It's very, very hard to fall in love with somebody if you've just met them once and you know nothing about them. You can fall in love with what I've seen on TV and what I've heard other people talk about, especially if you've met somebody over a phone, you've never met like a long-term relationship over the, you know, you fall in love with the ideal of the person. You fall in love with the image in your mind of a particular person. Maybe you know certain traits about the person, but you haven't met in general. That's what you may fall in love with, or that's what you may fall for. But you can't fall in love with somebody without spending time with them. And one time is not enough to judge that kind of behavior.
Well, I disagree. I fell in love with liquor after one day, and that, you know, liquor is part of my life forever, you know, for the time being. Oh, sorry. Well, I just brought this story up because it's a show that a lot of things that's going haywire in this country right now, in this world. Like there's a big attack that's going on over in Israel, over the new embassy. Many people are dead. It's like every time you turn on to the news, something crazy keeps happening. But this story came to my mind like, wow. Once again, you hear about these stalking stories, but how can someone take this stalking to the next extreme? So my question is, before I go to the next topic, imagine how much a phone bill became after 65,000 texts. Did a company come up and say, wait, hold on, there's something strange around here? Why is this person sending 10,000 texts to this one person? Should there be a flag right there and like alert the authorities or the cops? But listen, we may have a problem here.
You know, it's funny. The group texts that we send between amongst us and our friends, sometimes, depending on what the topic is, can probably have 40 or 50, maybe 60 texts in one day. But that's very, very rare. It doesn't happen every day, and it doesn't happen all day. So that's kind of strange in that sense. We are talking about 65,000. In the era of cyber stalking and in the era of bullying and all of the other things that happen, and when you see police officers and the feds looking into these kinds of things, when they think about terror and all the other things, that would be a red flag, I would think, on somebody's on a server of any particular carrier, whether it's, you know, Verizon or whoever it is that these were going through. The amount of text message volume going back and forth That would have to be seen. That would have to seem absolutely abnormal.
Yes, indeed. Oh, well, talk about This Is America. I'm going to do a little bit of rapping right here, Sean Black. This Is America. Don't catch you slipping up. Don't catch you slipping up. Look what I'm whipping up. This Is America. Okay, that's it. That's all I got for you.
Okay.
No, I don't want to torture you too much. But let's get down to business. There's a lot going on in the last couple of weeks. And, you know, we always talk about trending on the show, cop killing, racism. Racism is nothing new, of course. And everything that we always talk about on the show is nothing new. It's been going on forever. But there's always a new form to the topic that was brought up. But before we get to the major topic that's going on,
Danny Glover, musical alter ego, Childish Gambino surprised fans last week by dropping off a new single and visuals for This Is America. I sent this to you, Sean Black, Tisha, and other people of the song This Is America. And before I get to you, in my opinion about this music video, all I could say is wow, it was very powerful. It's a music video of Childish Gambino dancing around and all the negative that happened behind his back. But the way he was dancing and smiling, it was a distraction. And which, like, there's a distraction in life, especially caused by the media and social media, that people don't realize there's a lot going on around the world. And when something do happen, like a church killing or black people getting arrested for no reason or cop killing, there's always something that the media or the world throws something up to distract you from the real message or what's really going on. What was your thought about This Is America video?
I had to watch the video twice. I got a chunk of the ideas behind it the first time I saw it, but I wanted to make sure that what I was seeing throughout the entire video was what I was seeing. I thought it was poignant. I think that it had a message. Even down to what Donald Glover was wearing in the video and some of the poses and dances that he was doing, some of it harkened back to some of the old minstrel posters that were shown back in the late 1800s and early 1900s while he was doing certain poses and dancing around. And there were a lot of graphic depictions, but for the most part, the idea behind what he was doing was what he was dancing and singing with the choir and doing all of these other things. It shows you, as you stated, the distraction that happens in the background. While everything is nice and pretty up in front of the camera, you're missing the true story behind what's going on. And you were seeing people being attacked by the police. You saw a choir get murdered with a gun. The opening part of the video, he shot somebody who was actually had a hood on his head, and he just pulled out a euphemism, pulling out a gun and shooting him in the head. And then that same guy later on got up and was playing a guitar later on in the video. And at the end of the video, which I found absolutely poignant, was the fact that after all of this chaos had happened and the message was given, he's being chased by police going toward the camera as the video ends. Absolutely poignant stuff. The lyrics made you think, very thought-provoking, and it's something that was definitely needed because I think way too many people don't understand where our society has gone from, I don't know how many years ago to where it is now. And especially in this post-Trump era that we live in right now, I think that a lot of people think that this is a particularly poignant definition of what African Americans and minorities see in this country going on in their face.
All right, so we have Brother B on the line. Brother B, welcome.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Greetings and salutations. Who's on?
What's going on?
I'm assuming, of course, we did talk about this last week, Brother B. This Is America video by Childish Gambino. What was your thoughts about it right away that caught your attention?
Well, all right. Well, before I answer that, I have to ask Sean Black a question real quick.
Sure.
Sean Black, are you familiar with a Kennedy or Crown Chicken?
Yes.
Have you ever ate there?
I've eaten there a couple times, and it was mostly for the pizza rolls, but I stay
away
from it.
Yeah, I love the pizza rolls, too. But, yo, is it me, or do their burgers taste better than McDonald's and Burger King? I don't know. That was just a random thought that I just really had to throw out there. But,
you know, I haven't had a burger from them in at least a decade, so I don't even remember what it tastes like. But you might be onto something.
Yeah, yeah. It's put together better. But, yeah, okay, back to the show. You know,
I have no words.
Real talk, yo, man. I believe I said this last week on the menu. I've been going back and forth with a lot of people, mainly the women, black women, about what's going on. I mean, yo, it's, to be honest with you, it's an assault. It's an assault on us going on right now, on black people. And I ain't afraid to say it. To me, it's an assault. His video said a lot, but did it say enough? Because, see, the thing is, they just, it's like, he does the video, and
I'm
while
sorry,
it was great.
I'm sorry, brother, but you say it did it say enough?
No, did it say enough? Did it to make a statement, but did it say enough? Because every time we say something, they take it as a joke. Like, everything is a joke. And I have to say to those type of pilgrims, not to all, because, once you say a remark that's for your people or basically for your nationality, then all of a sudden they start to label you like you're anti-something. And I'm not anti-anything. I'm anti-ignorance. And that's – but his video, yes, it made a point and it said things, but did it say enough? Like, are they just looking at this like, oh, it's another Negro making a video, making a statement. It'll, everything will just go back to normal in a couple of weeks. You know, he'll get some ratings. It looks good for the record company. Gives us some press and, we just go back to business.
It broke the internet last week on YouTube. In one day, over 17 million views in one day. One of the fastest videos to be viewed on the YouTube.
And that was done, but what's going to happen? My thing is, what's going to happen after that? Is the conscious level going to raise just a notch, or is it just going to go back to business as usual?
Well, K-Dog is on the line. K-Dog can answer that question to you.
Hey, what's up, y'all? What's up?
Well, I hope that ain't K-Dog getting chased by the cops or something like that.
Yeah.
This is America.
Part two.
Man,
part two.
You know, what I got to say is this is that, music does send a message, and we've seen this constantly. And what Childish Gambino did, was it powerful? Yes. I mean, this is a message that people need to hear, but will everybody get the message that he's trying to say? That is a question mark, because he's just showing that, people are being distracted, to hide what's really going on in the background. Dancing and all of that, but yet you see people getting murdered by cops. You see people dying at the hands of guns. And time again, like I said, music does send a message. But do people heed the message? And Brother B and Sean and Hot Rod, in the era that we're living in now, the message is real, but not a lot of people not a lot of people are paying attention to what's really going on, because we're faced with all these distractions like social media, reality shows, and stuff like that. But, back in the day, I remember when with rap, with the conscious rap, and Brother B, you know what I'm talking about. Remember the conscious rap, like with groups like Public Enemy?
Of course.
X-Clan, back in the day, they were raising the conscience of black people. And people listened, people took heed to it. But this generation, in the modern world of modern technology and all of this, people are, they're brushing it off, or are they listening? Are they paying attention? You could have a handful of people listening, but you have a lot of people more like, oh, please, man, what is that, man? Oh, I saw the video. That video was whack. Oh, why was he dancing like that and all of that? They don't, and not getting the message.
People are out of sync. Well, people are out of sync. That's
yeah.
the problem.
And
like,
one of the
things
that
been,
people...
Everything has been so one-sided. Like, you had this bullshit BS music going
mm-hmm.
on for all this time, this mumble rap, and then he comes... See, it kind of confuses people. Because then, you know, they'll think that, oh, maybe he's just dancing to show off the newest dance trends or something like that. Like, certain people are just not going to get it. Like,
no, they don't.
You know, smarter minds are going to get it, but what are those smarter minds going to do?
Exactly. That's my question, because, you see, from what I heard on the street, people were like, oh, did you see how he was dancing? Oh, why he had to dance like that for? Oh, that's that, I forgot one guy called it coonery. I'm like,
yeah.
The man is sending a message. Do you not see it?
Well,
do you not see the message?
Well, like my father always tell me, you can't please everybody. In other words,
yeah,
you cannot teach everybody the same message.
Nah, you can't.
But really what I brought this topic up of This Is America, before Sean tells his example, as you guys know, there's been like a trending thing of people, no, let me get straight to the point. White people calling the cops, the pilgrims calling the cops on
mm-hmm.
black people for various reasons. But before
yeah.
Sean gets to that, this story pissed me off last week when there was a school in the Upper West Side, upper white class pilgrim area. They have a beef up security because the school officials want to make the school want to allow more minorities into basically all
school
white
integration.
Upper class. Exactly. And the white parents got very upset. They don't want no minorities into the school. And they don't want these minorities to get education. I'm like,
trying to bite my tongue.
Since when, you know, as fathers and uncles that we are, since when is a problem to teach our kids the right way? So
mm-hmm.
a school that's dominated by white people, you don't want minorities into the school? What in New York City? I'm shocked that was in New York City, but at the same time, I shouldn't be shocked. It's New York City. It does that. Once again, the closet is open, and all the skeletons are coming out. So this is a problem. This is a major problem that people need to see. That even our kids are not even safe. It's going back to the 1950s and 60s. And
yeah,
Sean,
the 50s,
you have more,
basically.
And Sean, you have more examples of black people and white people, the things that are trending right now.
And this is just something, mind you, this isn't, forget about the Starbucks stuff, forget about the Waffle House stuff, because there have been a couple things. Those particular instances happened within the last month, 3 weeks. I'm talking about stuff that has happened that has been made newsworthy over the last weekend. So this shows you how crazy it is. First of all, you might have heard about the Nigerian woman and her family that were kicked off of a plane. Basically because one white guy who decided to sit in her seat on the plane after she came back from the bathroom claimed that she had a funny smell, she was pungent, etc., etc. So instead of finding out what happened, they just kicked her and her family off the plane. Or the Oakland woman who called the police on a black family in a public bar, at a public park, because they were having a barbecue, and she decided
mm-hmm.
to call the police. What ended up happening, the police got there and said, you know what, this is not worth our time, this is a public area, whatever, and they left. What happened shortly, I believe the next day, literally hundreds of black people came to the park just to piss the lady off and had a cookout, just to piss her off, and they all did the electric slide, just to needle it into her.
Yeah.
Or a Virginia hotel employee that called a black man a monkey over trying to rent a room. Or the lawyer in New York with her daughter handcuffed and accused of stealing in a store. Or we all talked about before the Airbnb instance that happened where three African Americans, one being Bob Marley's granddaughter, renting out an Airbnb, and they were called on by the police and were almost arrested, et cetera, because the people in the neighborhood thought they were breaking it. Or the Nashville, Tennessee mayoral candidate who basically went on TV, I believe through an interview, that said racial profiling is necessary. This came out of his own mouth in Tennessee. Or the Georgia woman that was arrested, 65 years old, pulled out of a car and made to look like some sort of a felon.
Yeah.
Or what about the Tacoma, Washington?
John, you forgot the main one, the black Yale student.
Yes.
That's the biggest one.
That's the biggest one. Yeah.
Sean, real quick, did you see the interview with the dude who said that same Pilgrim chick from the Yale just called the cops on him like a month or 2 months prior?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. She's done it. Yeah.
This is overarching trend that has been happening, and it's not something that is necessarily new. It's only new now because we are in the advent of social media, cell phone, cameras, recording, etc.
Yeah.
Where these instances now, when back in the 60s and the 50s and the 70s, when an African-American would say, oh, I was just discriminated against by this so-and-so and so-and-so, then they could just say, you don't have any proof. You couldn't say something like that. I'll give you this. Now people are putting it in your face. So now people are recording it. People are getting it documented and putting it on social media. And what is happening? The Twitterverse and people on Facebook and people on Instagram and whatever other social media is going out there, and they're being the activists and putting it in your face. So when presented with it, you have to be there. There was one other instance that I have to bring up that a lot of people don't know about. There was an African-American woman who was, I believe, 26 years old, actually lost her apartment because she had a lease stating she was supposed to only have X amount of family members, et cetera, et cetera. She lost out on her lease because her landlord demanded that she bring an ultrasound picture to prove she was pregnant so that she wasn't trying to get over on her lease.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
And don't forget the guy in the Upper West Side who was moving in into a building. The next door neighbor was calling the police on him.
Yeah, call the police.
Because he was black.
And he used to work in the White House.
Ladies and gentlemen, from all those examples, this is a huge problem that's trending. And it's probably starting from Starbucks, I should say. Like Sean stated, this thing's going on forever. This is nothing new. Why are we talking about it today? Because it's been recorded and been sold to our faces every single time.
But
now,
you know what the problem is?
Yes.
You say that as a problem, the whole thing is not going to be fixed. Because the thing is, we're looking at one end of it, like with the video, the distraction. We need to look at the laws. Because the whole thing is this: how is the law allowing these things to happen? Why are the laws, if the laws are supposed to be for everyone, why do they apply just to certain people and not to us? My lady is in fear every night. Why is she in fear every night? Because I'm a 6'2" black man and I work with a firearm. I go from bank to bank with my ATM technician overnight while she fixes machines. Even though I got a vest on that says security, all it's going to take is for one person to be in the bank and say, oh, I see this big black guy, I don't feel safe. And then next thing you know, cops come, they ask me if I'm carrying, yes, and somebody may have a rational head, somebody may not. But the whole thing is, you call the cops, you may have that one cop that's just looking for the confrontation. You never know what may spiral off of that. And see, my problem is people don't care. And the law does not care. No one is trying to rectify any of this at all. Meanwhile, black, brown people, minorities, but mainly black people, we're losing our lives in front of cameras. And while the police are just home on paid leave and stuff like that, like nothing happens to them. So once again, what's going to change? Like, we keep getting challenged. They keep throwing the applesauce in our face, sticking a finger in our food, and it's like, yo, I dare you to do something. What are we going to do? Because
what can we do?
Listen,
overall,
listen, Hot Rod, Sean Black, Gay Dog. About 2 years ago, that when something happened with some police brutality, remember that guy from Maryland or Pennsylvania that came up to New York and shot them two cops?
Yes, I remember that.
Do you remember how quiet it got? The streets got? Do you remember how the police had that dude's family or the person who was brutalized by police come on TV? Oh, we got to stop the violence. We got to do this. We got to do that. You remember how that happened? You see what I'm saying? It's sad that things like that have to happen in order for change to happen, because it's just really sad how it just got so quiet after that. And who knows? We don't need another copycat of that. But
God, no, hell no.
It's like a recycle, like you said earlier,
you're forcing a confrontation.
But like you say, Brother B, it's a circle that keep going around and around. And what we're doing about it, because we watch a music video, we see This Is America, like, oh, wow, this is hot. While other people listen to mumble rap, but when something negative happens.
You know what it is, Hot Rod? And I'm just going to say this all up to everybody. The problem is, like I said before, it's a different generation. We love negativity, and I'm going to tell you why. We're so blinded by the negative aspects. Look at what these rappers are rapping about. Their drugs, they're rapping about money, they're rapping about women. And the problem is, when someone pulls out a positive message, let's just say J. Cole rapped about something positive, let's just say Kendrick Lamar comes out with something positive, now can't Childish Gambino's rapping about something positive. You know, we don't see the point. We don't see it. Why is it we're not looking at it? But instead, when someone pulls out something that's senseless, something that, let's just say, ignorant, that's hot. No, it's not. Because you know what? We're blinded by it. That's what's distracting us from what the real problem that's going on. And let's just face it, guys. When you hear about white people calling police on black people, this is a reminder, okay, that here it is in 2018, it's not going to change. Racism is alive and well. It's not going anywhere.
Well, we all agree that racism will never go away.
Yeah.
This is just a new form of racism that we are witnessing right now to ourselves.
Well, no, I don't think it's a new form, because this is, listen, since we have cameras and we have cell phones, this is the same thing.
Years ago,
I heard stories from the elders of like how they would go out and sometimes somebody wouldn't come home.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing that could be done because there was no telephones. Or they didn't have that type of technology. So either they came home or they didn't come home. You know what
I'm
saying?
You don't know how scary that sounded with you making that point and hearing those fires, the sirens going off in the background. That sounded really
scary. Let me close this window.
It's sad. The thing is that bothers me so much is the fact that, just like K-Dog said, like all of this has happened, but yet cats are still popping bottles. Cats are still talking junk. You know what? These cats are not blind. They just don't want to see it.
I'm
gonna ask all you gentlemen right now, and I hate to say it like this, because you know, because once again, the Vegas shooter, you notice how many guns and ammo he had. Then all the little church shooting, and then the kids shooting up the schools. You notice how they just have access to all these weapons. If something popped off right now, are we ready? Are we as a people? A nationality of people ready to combat whoever.
We're not ready because we cannot get along with each other for the most part.
Guess what else, Hot Rod? Guess what else, fellas? Something else I want to bring up. Hey, man, look, the latest sneakers are out. We're putting out the latest phones.
That's nothing new. But to Sean Black.
No, but I'm saying this is what's the problem, and I've said this before on the show. When something happens to one of us, we get mad one day. Just one day, we have these marches, which I'm sorry to say, don't accomplish nothing. And then we get, and then the next day it's business as usual. I'm like, wow. And you guys, and you know, you have some people out there who are saying that, oh, back in the days, all those people were weak and Uncle Thomas. No, you can't say that, because you know what? They kept the fight going. We're not keeping the fight going. We're sleeping. You know, we're falling asleep. We're daydreaming.
All right. So Sean Black, we did talk about this a little bit last week over the phone. Do you think all this trending that's going on with racism, or, in my opinion, the new form, started when Mr. Number 45 opened up his mouth with his hate speech?
It didn't start, but I believe it lit the fire that became what was already here. See, what a lot of people are going to say is that all of this hate speech, as you stated, all of this started with our president and opening his mouth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This stuff was already here. As I stated last week, a lot of this stuff was kind of swept under the carpet when President Obama was in office, because it was looked at as politically incorrect to say anything really racist or anything really outrageous to any minorities in public, in the public eye. Yet, there was a huge amount of discriminatory language thrown at the president in very subtle ways that only people that understood what was happening could pick up on. Now we have the chains have been unleashed. And what we're seeing now is a lot of people that are especially in positions of power that feel that it's perfectly fine to speak their mind about how they really feel about minorities in this country, and especially those of privilege, ones that hide behind the jobs that they have. And then the people that feel that way are now emboldened and empowered to actually say how they really, really feel. And this is becoming more and more of an epidemic. And as I stated earlier, because of the fact and the prevalence of people with cell phones and social media, we're getting a better grasp on the ground level with the foot soldiers, so to speak, of seeing what kind of priority they're putting to the pain that's out there. Because in this country, and this is something that I've noticed a lot, white people that have power, the ones that think that racist garbage, because this is obviously not everybody, but the ones that think that racist garbage, when they talk about how they deal with the quote-unquote race problem, they always tend to want to prioritize what kind of pain you are allowed to reveal. And those
exactly.
are the kinds of things that you see a lot of on TV, through the media. You know, well, President Obama, he's in office now. Racism doesn't exist anymore. And then leave it at that. Sing kumbaya, and that's it. And that's not the case, because of things like this, as we stated before, we talked about the Childish Gambino video. Literally 2 days after that video came out, a comedian, who is a, I guess she's a YouTube comedian, she does funny things, she did a spoof of this, like a woman's edit of This Is America. And I actually watched the video, and I think I understand her point, but it comes across as completely tone deaf to why the video was made. So we go back to what we were talking about. Somebody brings up something that makes sense and has a message, and then it gets cannibalized.
Because
on the other side.
She made it understandable for the, she tried to make it understandable for the pilgrims.
And it's funny to add on to your example, Sean Black. Last week, I forgot to text you guys this, that I was going to a store, and then I saw a little bit of ruckus outside between an old white man on a walker and some lady, and the mall security was holding a lady back. But as an old man's walking away, like he's trying to run away with his walker, he keeps turning around and calling a lady, that's why you're a black N-word. That's why you're a black N-word. And I'm looking at him like, okay, you're bald. You got balls to be saying this. So, of course, the woman who's black is back ready to kick this guy's ass. Security has to hold her back. And then, you know, this is, and I thought I brought this up because it reminded me of the conversation we had last week, how all of a sudden everybody's out in the open and say what's on their mind. So once again, everybody's out in the closet to see how they really, really want to feel. This old man calling this woman a black N-word. Maybe something happened between them or some type of confrontation. But just to yell that word out. You know what? Let me get to this lady's head and call her the N-word. Does that make him a racist? Who knows?
Of course.
Of course it does. Listen.
Well, you know what the problem is? See, that's the thing. It's not only just us as black men, but also our black women are quick to rush to the emotional response, which everybody plays on. They play on our emotional response because they know we're quick to start wowing out.
Mm-hmm.
But
so I think that's
doesn't really say that.
He mainly doesn't want to say that to get to her head. He doesn't know that he's a racist.
No, but listen, anytime you use some type of derogatory term, it's more than trying to get to somebody's head. You have some type of hate in your heart. You know, you have some type of hate on you for the person that you said it to. Like, you can't say that, oh, well, no, that person's just acting like the N-word. What is that? What do you mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, you make it sound like there's some definition in the dictionary to say that, oh, when you, the N-word, it's a certain way that you're acting. No, it doesn't. That by no definition does that come up. But my issue is that why are we not calling the police or pressing charges or writing reports or making complaints on people that do stuff like this? Listen, as soon as we start knowing the language and flipping the script, then things are going to change. Because
so you think that lady should have called the cops?
You think that wasn't a hate crime? He used a racial epithet. You think that wasn't a hate crime? That was a hate crime.
Mm-hmm.
Because I bet you if I was screaming like the derogatory term for homosexual, that would have been considered a hate crime.
Or even worse, if you were to say something about a Jewish person, that would have been an instant snap.
Yeah. Exactly.
Don't talk about the Jews. You'd be on death row by now.
Exactly.
Talk about Jews.
Now, you guys, especially Sean, I real quick have to throw this at you because this has very much to do with what we're talking about. Did you hear about the black activist that was jailed for his Facebook post?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I did. I heard about it.
And you see what I'm saying? We don't know the language and we don't know the law, but they're coming. And that's the problem. They're coming for us on the level that we are not prepared for. And this is why I'm like, yo, I don't get it. Like, when are we going to get it? We may never get it, but to those that do get it, you need to make yourself apprised of what's going on legally. Because that whole thing with Bill Cosby, that wasn't about no damn rape. That was legal, man. All that was legal. It was a shakedown, too, but it's something on the books because now black men are being looked at and paraded around, thanks to R. Kelly, too, but, you know, oh, now we're predators. Now we're this, and now you have the black feminists. Black feminists are talking about they're against us, too. So, once again,
you know
it's
what
divide
it is?
And conquer.
No, but like they said, like I said, a house divided cannot stand. And that's the reality of it, because you know what? For the longest, Brother B, and I'm sure all of you will agree, that black people, we as black people, have always been divided. Even during the times for the fight, the battle for civil rights, we were still divided. Even when the Black Power movement came, we were divided. So here we are in 2018, we're still divided. And you know what's sad about it is that, you know, like I said, a house divided cannot stand. How are we supposed to make progress if we are so divided? How are we supposed to build our own neighborhoods if we are so divided? Because, you know, when one person comes out with a message and try to speak to the masses and say, hey, listen, y'all, look, we got to get it together. This isn't right. Look at what's going on. The other half are going to turn around and ignore it and be like, oh, please, why does this person got to be talking all this junk to us? Why do we have to give it to
Shut up and play some Master P. We don't want to hear
exactly.
you.
Shut up and play some Lil Wayne. Shut up and play some Drake. You know, all of that stuff, man.
But I like that Brother B brought R. Kelly, because I want to mention quickly about R. Kelly. Do you guys, we have 15 minutes left. I got two more topics. Do you feel Pandora and Spotify did the right thing by pulling R. Kelly music from his library? Sean?
I think that they're on the right track. I think that one of the things that you can't do, though, is necessarily censor certain things, censor music. You have to let the people that are protesting this stuff be the judge of that. But yet, at the same time, I've always stated, and I know a lot of people have been wondering how this guy has gone for over, 15 years, and has been free based on the stuff that we've known and seen. And we said before, he paid off the victims, and they settled out of court, et cetera, and he hasn't been put in jail. If all of this is true, then they're doing their due diligence as a business to yank his music off, the same way that they've done with Bill Cosby. Now, the problem here with this is the consistency involved, because as I stated before, Charlie Sheen, who has the HIV virus, has been known to get high with prostitutes and has been high on drugs and may have potentially gotten somebody intentionally infected with HIV. We don't know yet. But his shows, two of them, are still in repeats, are still on television, and he's still getting paid residuals. While Bill Cosby's shows have been yanked off of TV, probably never to be seen again.
Okay. And I hate to say it, but our black women are so focused on Bill Cosby and R. Kelly, and once again, the white man is sitting back laughing.
No, yes, he is.
Because nobody's saying anything like he said about Charlie Sheen, Weinstein, or anybody else.
K-Dog?
Listen. Time and time again, we hear of this happening. I agree with some points that Spotify does want to censor R. Kelly, but they can't do it again. It's up to the groups that are pushing the move to silence R. Kelly. It's up to them to do something. But however, I do feel that, you know, we're so focused on one individual, but we're not focused on the others, because you look at the father from Seventh Heaven, who molested young kids. You look at Charlie Sheen. You look at Roman Polanski. You look at Harvey Weinstein. How come nobody's trying to censor them? Nobody's putting things against them. But yet, Bill Cosby wants to buy the NBC. He gets shut down. And, you know, R. Kelly, for 15 years, I'm like, wow, where was everybody when this whole news about R. Kelly peeing on little girls first came out? Some people were even defending him and saying, oh, I blame the girls for it.
For Hot Rod, Sean Black, and K-Dog. So my thing is this. If Spotify and Pandora, which I'll probably never listen to again, because if they remove his music, why you ain't do it to Hugh Hefner?
Exactly.
Hugh Hefner has made billions.
Billions.
And an empire of womenizing, all this type of stuff. Come on, man. This thing that was going on at the Playboy Mansion that we will never know, that's written down somewhere, we'll never know.
And Sean Black and I, we talked about this topic months ago when he passed away. Was he a hero or was he just a bad son of a gun?
He was their hero. Because, once again, blood and sexism, that's what this country was built on.
Okay.
From raping their own women to our women.
Well, we got 10 minutes left. Even though we have an all guy panel and Jesus not here tonight, I'd like to get your guys' opinion, because it's new, since we all done this before. And I got this idea from our friend Max. Dating. We all know the dates have changed lately. It's not what it used to be anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But let me start with Brother B, because he holds the menu. He talks about relationships a lot. Now, if you're on a dating scene again, how much do you spend on a first date? Because back in the good old days, a man used to pay for everything, give or take. But now everything's changed now. How much do you think is the right amount of money to spend on the first date?
Well, I don't think there should be a price tag. I mean, if you like the person and you're willing You know, listen, if you ask a chick out, you shouldn't be like, oh, well, I'm only going to spend $60. Like, you shouldn't do that. If you like it, you normally don't really care about the cost because you're trying to get to know the person. But the thing is, a lot of dudes are just trying to get ass. So they like, I only want to spend $60.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, but like, now it's a little bit different because people don't go on dates. They go on a Starbucks and, you know, get to know each other and talk it out and take it from there. If you feel they spend, you just say spend a certain amount of money. If a woman, if you spend, let's say, $100 on dinner and movies, a woman might feel like, listen, you spend a lot of money on me. It looks like he's looking for some action tonight. Do you think you're sending out the wrong message that way?
Well, if she's thinking that way, then that means me and you don't need to be together. Because obviously we're not on the same page, in the same book, or in the same library. Because that's not my train of thought. And if every woman keeps thinking that way, they're never going to... How do you think that looks to a real man?
Mm-hmm.
To a bum is one thing, but to a real man ain't dealing with all that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you spend enough money to have a good time. You don't necessarily have to spend a finite amount of money in any date. And as you said before, this is an old school mentality, old school thought process where the male, if the male asks the woman, well, why don't we go out on Thursday night or Friday night and let's go to this place or that place. And I'll pick you up from the place and we'll go and do this, and this. And that usually has, you know, money for tickets for the movie, money for food, money for transportation, maybe money for some dessert or whatever, maybe a late night cap drink, something like that. It depends on what you want to do. But at the same time, women have just as much at stake going in meeting a guy as a guy meeting the female. So it depends on what you want to do.
Should there be a limit, though? The
limit should be how much you feel as a person you should be able to spend.
Exactly.
If you go into a date saying I'm only spending $15 or I'm only spending $40 or I'm only spending $100, and you go past that threshold, irregardless of what happens, if you're having a good time and you hit that threshold before the date is over, your date will look at you as you are cheap. Irregardless.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you can have a $300 date. And you're having a ball, and we'll have this much fun, and then you're halfway through the date, and, well, I told myself I'm not going to spend more than so-and-so,
yeah.
And your date will look at you like, oh, really?
But
oh, okay.
You're in the magic.
Listen,
Kato, you're in the
real
magic.
Talk.
You have a good time. You're losing focus. It happens. We all done
real
it.
Talk. Listen, I'll add something to it, because don't forget, guys, when a woman meets a guy and... You know, you invite a woman out on a date, that woman is going to have some high expectations. Like, she expects to be entertained.
I agree.
And you know what? It is your job to deliver. You got to, you know, really study. And that's why it's always important to get to know a woman and see what she likes before you take her out of the date. Okay, if she likes...
But excuse me,
K-Dog, like,
what do you mean by deliver?
Yeah.
What do you mean by deliver?
Let me tell you what I mean by deliver.
Spending wise?
No, not spending large, but be prepared. You know, you understand? To give her a great time, to give her the time of your life, to give her the time of her life. When she wants to get to know you, and you're taking her out, you got to show and prove. That means you can't. You're gonna have some at some point. You're going to have to break the bank, because one thing you don't want a woman to... Some women are going to look at... Listen, some women, I'm not saying all. Some women, like I said before, have high expectations of when they're going out with a guy. And
so, I think I have to go jump the gun and say, if you're out with a woman with high expectations and does not meet your needs, she's not the one for you then, K-Dog.
Especially if you don't know what those expectations are.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I'm getting to a point here.
Okay, we got 5 minutes left.
It's up to you to show her a good time. That means take her somewhere that's nice. And you know what? If it's affordable to your pocket, to your liking, do it. You know, do it. She doesn't have to, you know, as long as the place is nice. It's not, like, dingy or dirty or anything like that. that she's going to be turned off.
Yeah, let's take her to the junkyard. Let's go on a date in the junkyard.
Is she worthy? That the whole thing
she's worthy.
She
that's
has
the,
to be
that's
worthy.
The number.
That's the
number. That's the number.
Because she got tits and ass and a vagina doesn't mean that she's worthy.
But that's the thing about the first date. You don't know if she's worthy or not until
exactly.
You sit down and talk.
But some
but
guys, unfortunately, they break the bank.
But Kato, if she has high expectations on a date that she's ready to spend, will be the first thing that comes to your mind that she could be a gold digger?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically. That's what I'm saying. That's what I was talking about, high expectations. I'm like, some women have high expectations.
I think that should be a lot of talk. There should be a lot of talk before you can first date.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of talk.
You got to get to know her and talk to her. Take her somewhere quiet where the both of you could sit down and have a conversation because, if you put her anywhere noisy,
you're not going to get anything. We're going to talk about this again with Tisha. I want her input. I think the bottom line is, I think there should be a money limit. I agree with Sean. I believe on the first date, you should sit down and talk to the person, get to know what she's all about. Besides, I'm not talking about dinner. I mean, dinner's possible, but about the movies and everything. I think the first date should be a dinner or a sit down, drinking coffee or whatever. Not even a bar. Even though I've done the bar things, I'm not going to lie, many times, it had come by me.
I ain't doing no more bars. And I ain't doing no more plays neither. I'm just going
to
go to Starbucks and have a conversation.
Going to
take
the to the bar.
Starbucks allows you to sit down and actually have that conversation. But I digress.
Yeah. that's true, too.
I forgot about Starbucks. Might as well go to Chick-fil-A or Chipotle and have a
talk. No Chick-fil-A. Because, they support.
That's true. I ain't going there.
Oh, imagine.
Go to Chipotle.
But imagine you take a date to go to the park and sit down and talk, and a white person call the cops on you because you're disturbing the peace.
Imagine that. That could happen. I see black people. Let me call the police.
It ain't safe.
they look suspicious.
So, and you can't even have a first date in the house where somebody might say you're breaking into the house. So we're in a nowhere situation right now. But,
exactly.
Sean, anything else you'd like to add on about first date?
If you are going to go into a date and you're expecting to have fun, that's all you should be thinking about. If all you want to do is take her to the arcade and play Pac-Man all day and then talk about how your day went, that's good as going to Red Lobster or
Sean,
going somewhere
old,
else.
Okay?
As long as
we're,
you have
we
fun.
Are old people, Sean. We're not 21 anymore, okay?
But
we're
you want to know
family.
Something? Those 21-year-old ideals might actually help people find somebody because it's all about having fun and not all the time about being serious 100%.
That was back in Times Square when we were 21 when we took the girls to the arcade. Now we'll see that right now.
Women our age anymore. Now, that's what they're looking for because there ain't no real fun
You'll be
out
surprised
in the streets anymore.
Trust me.
There's no real fun out here. You stand on the pony.
Ain't no real
trouble.
Fun out here.
Everybody's so serious. Everybody is so serious. If you take somebody to have
and
fun
another
and
thing,
enjoy themselves, they will
and
actually
another thing,
come
you know
back.
What? Allow me to add something else. People are going to be sitting there on their cell phones looking at social media while you're trying to have a conversation. The conversation is going to be all about the phone. Both of you are going to be sitting there quiet talking on the phone.
So Kato, you're on your first date with this person. She's on the phone. Would that impress you or make you think about, give you second thoughts about this date that you spend money on?
It'll give me second thoughts about this date because you know what? If you can't hold a conversation, then there's a problem.
But some people don't know how to hold conversation in this era.
Again,
because
it will be a problem. It will be a problem. I doubt there will be a second date because, hey, I'm all about your mind. I want to see what's going on in your head. Because you can look good and be stupid at the same time.
Okay. All right, then. Ladies
and
gentlemen.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going around.
Knowledge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show. Please tune in on Block Talk Radio every Sunday night at 8:30, Brother B.
Yes, sir.
To the menu where he
Damn,
talks,
I missed this like, Sunday.
We talk about crazy other crazy topics as well. So
oh,
yeah,
before you sign off, realissues.blogtalk.com, blogspot.com, I should say. That's the blog for our friend Max. Positive Issues, go check it out.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add, Brother B? 20 seconds?
Yeah, I'm going to have to probably deal, the thing about the school that you were talking about, we might have to do that next Sunday.
All right.
That's serious.
We got to tune in on that.
We will be there. We will be there. Guys,
we
thank
will
you
be
so much.
There.
Everyone else, have a good night. Tune in
peace
next
out.
Week. Good night.
Good night. Good night. Be safe.
Good night.
The pleasure
good night,
was all of me.
Yours. May the force be with you.
Amen.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.